Forward, we look forward to beginning the next session. I think we all had the pleasure of hearing from the President's science advisor the importance of this cooperation. I was just talking with the director of the National Cancer Institute, who echoed our need and interest in cooperating with colleagues and friends around the world. It is now my pleasure to introduce the graduate of the National Academies, Alicia Jackson, who has gone on to take up what some would call an interesting position on the Senate Energy Committee, where she plays a key role in formulating our responses to the global environmental challenges that we all face. And if I could ask, in a very non-European tradition, if the gentleman by the door could come and join us, we would look forward to that. If any of you have a pressing need for conversation, we have a great hall with a great space, which will enable you to do that. Ms. Jackson.
Good morning. I am very pleased to be here this morning. Thanks to Chuck and the National Academies for the invitation to moderate this morning's very distinguished panel on U.S.-Polish cooperation on energy and the environment. I'll be quite brief because I think we've already heard this morning quite a bit on the nature of the challenges that we face globally and that will require global cooperation to find the solutions to. And I think that there is a very strong case, as we heard from Dr. Holdren earlier today, for Polish-U.S. cooperation in these areas. We share many of the same challenges. Both of our countries are looking to diversify our energy sources through new science and technological advances and innovation. Both of our countries have large reserves of coal and hence a large dependence on coal. And so there is much work to be done in the area of clean coal technology and CCS, which I think all of us agree no one country can undertake by itself. And lastly, I know both of our countries are looking very strongly at building new nuclear plants. Our country has really come around on this recently, and I've seen this very strongly in the Senate, where folks who used to adamantly oppose nuclear power have now realized that it is an excellent form of energy and that it provides both baseload and low-carbon power. With that, I'd like to introduce our panel today. We have Hanina Trojanowska, Poland's Deputy Minister of Economics. Thank you so much for traveling to be here today. We also have Peter Monkars from Stanford University. And lastly, we have Richard Peroza, President of the Supervising Board of ATON. Thank you all for being here. And with that, if the minister would begin her remarks.
Thank you very much, Madam Jackson, for this friendly introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great honor and pleasure to be here on this 10th conference on science and technology. At the very beginning, I should admit I'm not a scientist. So just to legitimate my presence here, let me at least to say that my presentation will be more about the technological option which is going to be implemented in Poland. And still requiring some scientific support. And I do believe that this information about the new technology which will be implemented in the power industry, as I said, still requiring some scientific support, will be a good or important element of our future cooperation and of maybe the element of refreshing our cooperation in the power issues. Shall I start with the information about the big challenges for the Polish power sector, which is definitely, I mean, first of all, to ensure the security and reliability of the power system through the diversification of the fuel mix and routes of transportation of the energy carriers, but also through the development of interconnection, transmission, and distribution grids. If we can add to this very challenge also the abatement of CO2, NOx and CO2 emissions, and development of new generation sources, just simply because our generation asset is getting older, and today more than 40% of power plants in Poland is older than 30 years. And last but not least, I would like also to add the increase in electricity generation efficiency. All of you know that the Polish power sector is highly dependent on coal. Today, more than 95% of electricity is generated from hard coal and lignite. And this deep reliance on coal is probably unique for such a big power system like is the Polish power system, consisting of over 33,000 megawatts of the installed capacity. If we can add also another very important challenge, which is the adoption of the EU climate energy package and quite ambitious targets for Poland, I mean the participation in the full auctioning of the new emission trade scheme and the linear decrease of the available CO2 allowances and the necessity to participate for full participation of the power sector in this very system since the year 2020. Another important challenge is the 15th share of renewables in the final energy consumption in 2020, which is a very ambitious target for Poland. And as was said just before, the implementation of new clean coal technology. I have to admit that Poland is participating in this European initiative and will apply with two projects to the European EU flagship program, and we do believe that this international cooperation will bring these benefits for the full-scale implementation of the clean coal technology. However, Poland participating quite actively in the creation and execution of the energy policy. So it was a very important, to define some priorities for our energy policy. This document called Energy Policy Up to the Year 2030 was just approved by the Council of Ministers a couple of days ago. And the main priorities is the improvement of the energy efficiency, is the increasing of security of fuel and energy supplies, diversification of power generation sources through the implementation of nuclear power, increase of use of the renewable energy sources, including biofuels, then development of competitive fuel and energy markets, and last not least, but to limit the energy sector's impact on the environment. So please allow me to stop for a while at this third item. As a government commissioner for the nuclear power, I was obliged to prepare the strategic program for development of this nuclear industry in Poland, having in mind also quite important governmental declaration that the first unit should start its operation at the beginning of the third decade. It means we can have also 10 years to implement and to develop this very project. Also, the government has just indicated the PGE, Polska Grupa Energetyczna, which is the biggest power company in Poland, as a future investor, and today as a company which will be participating in the preparation and execution of this very program. So our forecast for the fuel mix in the year 2030 says quite clearly that coal will remain our basic fuel for decades. As you can see, the lignite and hard coal will consist of 57% of the fuel mix, and this increased share of the nuclear is also very, very remarkable, and I do believe that this will come to the true at the end of the third decade. Also, I would like to say that this share of renewables in amount of almost 20% in the year 2030 seems to be a quite challenging target for Poland. So after quite deep analysis and the worldwide experience, we know that the nuclear power plants which will be implemented in Poland will create a new possibility and a new quite competitive situation for the Polish power sector through existing of the stable and reliable electricity generation sources with 60-year lifetime. It means also that the new capacities will replace the old public power plants and will rather limit the importation of coal, not the excavation of the domestic sources. It also means the predictable and stable in a long time period electricity generation costs. And of course, this CO2 and other emission-free technology seems to be also as an important element to improve the competitiveness of the power sector in Poland. And maybe a few words about the advantages for the Polish economy. This is definitely saving the possibility to save the organic and fossil fuels for future generation. It also means the economic revival of the regions when these nuclear power plants will be built, the possibility of boosting the national industry and creating the new workplace, and of course the development of Polish R&D resources. I have to say that our scientists within this nuclear energy are working with important results and success in some very important European projects, and I do believe that we are not only recipients of this knowledge and benefits, we are also donors in this very important process. So maybe small comment how we feel, how we see this possibility to implement this nuclear energy in the future. We asked our public about the opinion, do you support the following activities? First was to the question about the tax incentive for development of the alternative energy sources. It means solar and wind energy. As you can see, the ecological awareness is quite high in Poland. Also, as far as the question about this nuclear power plant construction to make domestic economy more independent on oil and coal. This is also quite substantial increase in acceptance of this fact. However, when we ask people about increasing energy taxes to encourage consumers for energy savings, this ecological awareness is not so high. At least we do not like to pay for such initiatives and rather expect some solution made by state administration. So just a few words about the way how this process is looks like in Poland. So after the approving the ordinance of the Council of Ministers in May on establishing the government commissioner for nuclear power, we decided to speed up our work and to create this framework time schedule for the nuclear power activities, just indicating some important tasks and the time schedule for its realization. And this time schedule was just approved by the Council of Ministers in August this year. So if we can, the whole process of the nuclear power development can split to some stages. We are, of course, at the very beginning, I mean, creating the new program, the new strategic program of the nuclear power. Also, we have to have in mind that the public debate will be necessary just to obtain this acceptance of this very process. Also, we have to develop the specific infrastructure which enable the implementation and functioning of the nuclear power industry. We have also have to ensure the priority of the nuclear safety standards at each stage of development of the whole project. And also to ensure an effective system of human resources, training and education of people, together with the development of R&D resources and the domestic of industry. We do believe that this program is not only about the development of the new generation sources, but rather an economic program, probably the greatest challenge in the post-war economy in Poland, and also the greatest challenge in the Polish electricity market. And of course, another headache and another task for the investor. Of course, the investor, the PGE, is of course responsible for creating the specific consortium which will realize this very project. Now, the some studies are pending, especially the feasibility study and some analysis regarding the future. Getting finance and then the future realization of this very project. And of course, this preparatory phase took some times. Then we have the 60 years of safe and reliable operation, then the decommissioning of the power plant, and time for the implementation of spent fuel final solution. So this engagement says about 100-150 years to come. So this should be really prepared very, very carefully and wisely. As I said, the nuclear safety assurance is something which is very important for these very projects, and of course even this responsibility for the nuclear safety is first for the investor and later for the operator and owner. We know that we will select the third generation plant, ensuring the safety of the population even in case of a human error and equipment failures, which is the greatest challenge for engineers and of course for the scientists as well. We can also use this experience of 50 years of the nuclear power plants operation, safe operation, apart from two disasters, in Chernobyl and Three Mile Island. And of course, the European utility requirements, which are obligatory in Europe, will be also used for the whole process. Today we are quite intensively working on the creation of the independent and strong regulatory authority, which will regulate safety issues, control the nuclear power plant owners' activities, and assure the nuclear safety of the nuclear power plants using our own experience, 50 years of operation of research reactors, which is, of course, this experience will be also used. And we know that without the assistance of the international organization, this challenging task will not be completed in time. So, of course, we cooperate quite closely with the International Atomic Energy Agency, World Energy Nuclear Regulators Authority, also another important organization. So just to say a few words about the objectives of the nuclear power program for Poland. This is, of course, first of all, to determine the optimum scope and condition for the nuclear power development, to specify the necessary activities and tasks to be fulfilled by the state administration at the central and the local level, and to estimate the costs of the nuclear power development, which is a very important issue, especially for our opponents. They want to know how do we have to pay for the entrance of this new technology. And last and not least, we would like also to assess the economic, social and environmental impact on the nuclear power program for Poland. So these slides show that the way from the taking the decision on launching the program of the nuclear power to the date of commissioning of the first unit, this way is quite quite rough, full of traps, and of course requires a very, very precise preparation. We know that for the investor it would be a great challenge on this conditions of liberalized market to find a proper structure of the shareholdings, to get some financing, to select the technology and weight of execution of the whole project. And for the administration, it would be a great challenge, to be in time with the legal regulation enabling not only the construction but also the operation of the future nuclear power plant. So as I said, we have elaborated the framework time schedule for the nuclear power development. As you can see, it's a very ambitious time schedule and a very crucial next few months, the next 12 months, when we have to prepare the strategy for the development of the nuclear power. Of course, next 2 years will be addressed for the selection of the technology and the conclusion of contracts for the construction of the first nuclear power plant. And just to be ready with the start of the construction at the beginning of the year 2016. So, On this slide, I shows the activity which is now pending. This is the task for the governmental administration, and I have to say that the results and the conclusion of these studies will create the basis for formulating the thesis for the strategic program. And apart from, of course, analysis and studies, the public campaign, the public education and information, this is also something which is very important, and we are focusing on this very issue for quite intensively. Creating a strong regulatory body is also very pending issue. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say in the conclusion of my presentation that, of course, it's a huge challenge, a lot of tasks, a lot of efforts ahead. However, we feel that without the bilateral cooperation, international cooperation, without the assistance of the international organization like International Atomic Energy Agency, Nuclear Energy Agency, or other very important initiative like the Global Nuclear Energy Partnership, this task should not be completed in time, and probably also we would like to actively cooperate yellow lamp, so I'm just finishing. Just to speed up the whole process, and I do believe that this will be a great opportunity to make some friendship contacts for the future cooperation. So thank you very much for your attention. Would you please help me just a second?
Alicia, do we have time for a quick question?
Sure, if we would like to start.
Yeah, well, just perhaps just one as a setup. I was wondering if I might ask the minister whether they have. Do you have any clear idea where you might procure these nuclear reactors?
Yes, thank you very much for this very question. I have to say that during my presentation, I've mentioned the third generation of the nuclear reactors. And it's quite obvious that there are quite few suppliers of this third, safe, modern, and commercially viable technology. So, of course, we have the European solution, we have the US solution, I mean especially the Westinghouse and the General Electric. We have, of course, the Japan and the Korean colleagues, I mean, also preparing this third generation. I do believe also that for us it will be very important the opinion of other, let's say, regulatory authorities, for example, in Finland, in United Kingdom, which are now the process of review process is pending, and their opinion will be also very, very important for us while we're selecting this technology.
Good morning. I would be possibly the most Polish-sounding American on this panel today. I have here two hats, as you can see, Stanford University and Exponent. One is the practical aspects of implementing technology and fixing it when it doesn't work, that's Exponent, and the other one is developing technology and science so that industry has something to chew on. And that's the platform from which I'm starting. I was asked to talk about Poland's energy strategy related to clean coal and renewables. Obviously, I will be doing it from the perspective of somebody who lives for last over 30 years in Silicon Valley. About a year ago, at the Global Technology Symposium at Stanford, I took the audacity and I stated that there is no doubt that a combustion engine in passenger car is moving to history. And I was nearly lynched there at that time. Today it's old news. We are only debating whether by 2015 we are going to have 10% or 20% of electric cars in modern fleets, and how long it will take to replace the fleet. However, as we are getting very excited about the electric car, and we know that it's a very desirable development and a disruptive technology that we have been waiting for a long time, there is that a major question that needs to be answered, namely, where is this electricity going to come from when we plug the car into the system? Is it going to be like in the upper left corner from fossil fuel plants, traditional, or the next one, which will be geothermal energy, or maybe it will be nuclear, as we discussed here before, like Minister Trojanowska mentioned. Some countries are blessed and they will have a hydropower, and they can build more hydropower, of course, if the environmental conditions are met, which nowadays we are much more sensitive to it. We have, we are watching with great excitement the enormous German project of the large offshore wind farm that will be generating, they are talking about something like eventually 15 gigawatts of wind energy coming from offshore farms. That's a formidable challenge and the goal. We will see how it goes, that obviously not every country is blessed with windy areas as the, are the countries around Baltic Sea and North Sea. And then we have a different approach to using coal than the one in upper left corner, namely processing the coal underground, bringing the calorific and chemical values from the coal to the surface without bringing, forgive me French, the garbage to the surface and dealing with it, without sending miners to the deep mines and then dealing with the safety repercussions. Quite recently we heard about over 100 people dying in Chinese mine. The news are so old in China about safety in the mines that only when the number hits 100 we hear about it. Every day nearly somebody dies in Chinese mines. From time to time in Poland we have those tragedies. Quite recently we had one. I think disruptive technology in coal use are very needed, and the disruptive technologies have to start, so to say, in this room, in science and engineering. They will not start in factories producing turbines. And then we have lower corner, a challenge for another disruptive technology. U.S. Department of Energy has spent substantial amount of money quite recently on grants looking at an enhanced geothermal system, which means we are going to great depths into the towards the Earth's core, and we are trying to harvest the heat, bring it to the surface, and convert it into electrical energy. This was already said, but just to remind us that coal and peat are not going to go away. 61% of energy source is not going to disappear, no matter how much we wish this to happen, or maybe we don't. But one thing is sure, that using it the old way is unacceptable. Every country around the world is voting that it's unacceptable to use it the old way. You can see that for Poland, this is a very important question, of course. As Minister Trojanowska said, over 90% of Polish electricity comes from coal. Needless to say, a country would have to be suicidal deciding not to use coal in the foreseeable future. So coal is very much going to stay with Poland. United States has the largest. This is the fuel shares of electricity generation today in the world, for over 40%. Those are the fossil fuel reserves. Coal is over 60% of this. That's something that we cannot leave there to be decorative underground. We have to use it. We have to use it in a sensible way. We have to use it in a sophisticated way. We have to use it in a way different than 18, 19, and 20th century taught us how to use it. We have to move to different scientific approach to this. Needless to say, there is a great communality in interest in coal between United States and Poland. Poland has possibly the largest per capita deposits of coal in the world, and United States has the largest deposits of coal in the world. So there is a great communality in interest. United States is moving now into a nuclear program. I'm very much involved on the commercial part with it. And let me tell you, it's a very bumpy road. While everybody says, yes, we want nuclear, most people say, not in my backyard, unless they already have one in their backyard, and it's easier. But there is also the very, very scary element of it. We have a bid on an important project, nuclear project in the States going right now, and it's in a permit period, this project, and the price jump merely by $5 billion overnight, over one meeting. The company that was going to deliver the plant changed the price by nearly $5 billion. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for bankers, for politicals, and indeed for the corporation or the utility that was going to build that plant. They are saying, wait a minute, $5 billion, we can generate a lot of electricity in other ways for $5 billion. And so it's not that simple as making a political decision, we want to have more nuclear power plant. There is a lot of engineering and scientific work that has to go into it. That's the map of U.S. versus coal. Poland has, and here's Professor Zmijewski, who is the greatest guru of numbers on Polish energy, and I am sure that he is recalculating them and will correct them in his talk. But just for order of magnitude, 2 gigawatt of new generation per year, that's a huge challenge. But also a huge opportunity, because if you do that much replacement, if you do it with new technologies, with disruptive technologies, then you will be modern till the 22nd century. The energy independence cannot be achieved solely by use of currently underdeveloped green energy sources, with all due respect to wind, solar, etc., etc. Fossil fuel resources have to be mobilized with greater efficiency. We have to make them greener also. And coal use, as usual, is unacceptable, as was said before. Poland has some very interesting programs right now. This is out of research laboratories. Poland is really actively pursuing implementation of new programs. Tauron Group, with the new polygeneration plant in Kędzierzyn, if it happens. That will be one of the most revolutionary things that will be happening in coal processing. Underground coal gasification. Poland was one of the first countries after Second World War that started fiddling around with underground coal processing. That was stopped, that research was stopped, mainly for political reasons. Russia at that time was going to bless East Central Europe with the Friendship Pipeline. The Friendship Pipeline was going to bring Soviet oil to those countries and basically make them dependent on Soviet oil. Going into any ways of producing liquid fuels out of domestic coal or gas out of domestic coal was not very desirable to the Soviet Empire. So it stopped. Poland is now moving into looking back into that technology and restarting the process quite actively. So why underground coal gasification? I would like to call it underground coal processing, because there is much more to it than gasification. First of all, we get rid of the mining cost. We protect the surface area, transportation, storage, refusal, disposal, no surface gasification, safety issues in mining, unminable coal deposits. Right now, we are getting, unless we are going strip mining, which not every country can afford strip mining, and not every country has coal, which is shallow enough, then we have to leave a lot of coal on the ground. Often over 60%, up to 70% coal is left underground. That's a pretty miserable way of recovering natural resource. There are a lot of studies done in U.S. national laboratories on this issue. Here's Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory looking at this entire risk issue associated with underground coal gasification. It's a complex process. Maybe not as complex as building new generation nuclear power plant, but very important issues of risk control have to be addressed. There is a important research going on in Poland that actually has half of its history in Poland, half of its history in the United States. Polish Laboratory of Radical Technologies and Poltex Metan have technology that maybe I will go. Have technology that is integrating mining and pyrolysis technology underground, basically crushing the computer got life of its own, basically crushing the concrete underground, coal underground, and injecting oxygen in a controlled manner to start a pyrolysis process. With the pyrolysis process, then we get gases that okay, when the button start working, I'll be able to show you some of the gases. Oh, here we are. We get gases which are hydrogen, synthetic gases, which can be processed, and we get the heat to the surface. With the heat, we can generate electricity. With the gases, we can convert them to liquid fuels. We can convert them to synthetic gas, which can be used the same way as natural gas. There is the, I mentioned the temperature in the earth, the geothermic solution company is looking into it and in tune with the Department of Energy enhanced geothermic system model. There are many places on Earth that are hot places where you don't have to go very deep to get high temperatures. That's the geothermal solution, geothermic solution technology. That's again a technology that is a mixture of Polish thinking and US thinking. Of course, when you get into technologies like this, people have been working on it for a long time. You have to address reality. You have to address reality of decline of the heat with time. If you over harvest the heat too fast, you are going to end with a cold pipe. So knowing what you are doing is very important. This is where science comes. And challenges and opportunities in technology transfer. Professor Kleiber was talking about it. The issue of transferring technology in a meaningful way that is a win-win situation is very important, because either you are a leader or you are going to follow. And Poland is this in this situation. United States is in sort of a panic mode where we send our industry manufacturing abroad. We have to restore those capabilities with new manufacturing, more advanced manufacturing methods. In conclusions, coal is and will remain an important element of Poland and US energy and chemical sector. A joint effort between US and Polish scientists, researchers should be carried out to develop disruptive technologies in order to harvest calorific and chemical value from coal. Cooperation between U.S. and Polish scientists and technologists in the area of other renewable energies, most notable, enhanced geothermal system, should be stimulated. Thank you very much.
Madam Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, it is a really great pleasure for me to be here to present small Polish company which introduce a modern technology. We start to introduce this technology also in US, so I am just here. At the beginning, few words about our company. Company is located in west part of Poland, close to German and Czech border, in city Wrocław. It's a city in which we have a number of universities, so it's easy for us to have a very good, very well-educated people. We have Technical University of Wrocław, Wrocław University, University of Natural Science, and so on. So we are able to provide activity in field of modern technology. We cooperate with some other universities, not only in Poland, but also in France, and actually we start a cooperation with Michigan State University. What we are doing, we want to introduce modern technology which can be used, which is just used for treatment of hazardous wastes. We want to use microarrays for that process. Characteristic for our proposal is to use microwaves, which we use for heating of danger wastes to the high temperature, which is needed for optimal process of destruction of such a wastes. We call our technology MTT, microwave thermal treatment. Why we do concentrate on this era? As we know, our civilization produces a lot of very dangerous, very hazardous wastes, and we can assume that this production of wastes will increase. So it's very important for scientists, for companies to find some new technology which will reduce this very bad influence of wastes on our environment. So our activity is exam of such a process. And, of course, for us it's very important to be here, to have a contact with many, many people, very important person and companies in Poland and U.S. So we do just it. Few words about our technology. I will describe it very shortly. More information you can get here. We have some brochure, some additional information, and also in our web pages. Sorry, it was not very effective period in our activity. Oh, now it's okay. We have developed our technology at the beginning for treatment of asbestos. It's well known that asbestos is very dangerous material because of fiber structure. And we use microwaves to destroy these fibers, and we can produce a material which can be effectively used, for example, for road reconstruction for other application, but developing this technology, we are going behind. We developed also another method, another technology, which are listed here on this slide. At the beginning, I will say a few words about treatment of asbestos-containing materials. Here we can see what is our problem. There are such fibers. It depends what kind of asbestos we'll treat. And here you can see results of our treatment. It's a material which seems to be like Pumex. It's very easy to use it together with cement to produce concrete or something like. And here is an example of block diagram of our installation. I will describe it very shortly. More technical information we can give during coffee break or later. Here's a crusher. Next we give here some admixture. It's very important. It's our idea to give some admixture to improve absorption of microwaves and also to decrease the temperature in which these fibers we can destroy. And here is a microwave reactor. It is not like simple microwave oven. It's much more complicated. It contains number of microwave generators with special radiators. Some examples of our apparatus is industrial scale apparatus. We have a new systems. It's a picture of old one. And here is a scale model, how we propose to work. All this apparatus is mounted inside of container, of typical old container. And we can go just to place where such a waste exists. So nobody needs to transport this very dangerous hazardous of waste. This is, in my opinion, very important, especially in very crowded city in Europe, in Japan, in Korea. We have many contacts with such companies. We have two containers. Here we call it dirty zone, where it is dangerous material containing asbestos is preliminary treated. I mean, is a crusher, and here we introduce these additives. And here is a clean zone with microwave generator, with microwave reactor, and all material we will get after treatment we can transport, for example, to company which will do road renovation process. Another, I will describe it very roughly. As I said, more information you can find in our web pages, and also we have a number of brochures. When we are providing thermal treatment, we must expect that we emit some exhaust gases. So as a result, we decided to develop some methods for cleaning of waste, of exhaust gases. And we have developed new system, we call it MOS, microwave oxidation system. Also in this case, we use a microwave. This is because for a very long time I'm working with microwaves, so everything I want to make using microwaves. But in this case, it was really very effective. I will show some examples. It's simple cavity with ceramic bed, which is heated to high temperature, and this ceramic plus high temperature catalyzes oxidation process. And it's really very effective. I can show you some examples. It is small device mounted inside of container, which was used for cleaning of gases in small incinerator unit. But also we offer larger installation. The typical installation we can offer just now, but of course it is a custom design system. It means that if customers will need biggest one, will need to treat more volume of exhaust gases, we can design it. Here, as an example, how effective is the system. Here, the exhaust gases from process of gasification of tires. So it contains a lot of VOC. It is outlet. It's almost zero. It was at the level of sensitivity of apparatus. We have a lot of such measurements results, which we got from some laboratories, national laboratories and private laboratories. They checked our process. Where we can apply such a system? I think this field of application is much wider we can now list here. But anyway, now we did some checkup, and also we used this in two big industrial scale systems. Another application of microwaves. Sorry, I know that light now, but last time in Gdańsk I got very short time. So sorry, I will say a little bit longer. Cleaning of polluted soil is very important. We got some contract from Riga, seaport, where before was a base of Russian submarines, and soil is polluted up to almost 2 meters. And what to do is with? And we did it using our reactor. It is like ceramic. Rotating drum, and of course material in this case is also heated by microwaves. And here you can see picture from Riga. We use it for cleaning of this polluted soil. process is very effective, so we got a contract for next 3 machines to do it. I'm sure that it's not only problem of Latvia, but everywhere where was a soldier's base, we can expect such a problem. Generally, military people, they don't worry so much about environment. I'm sure in many places we can find some polluted soil. Also in United States, there are some exams material before treatment and after treatment. It was in case of special ceramic, which is used in oil industry. And last one is the treatment of organic wastes. We developed system for treatment of medical wastes, veterinary wastes, and as a result of last talk in Michigan, also we can find application of this system for treatment of pharmaceutical wastes. Here is the installation under construction. Such an installation now is working in France, close to Paris in Vernon. And we have developed also bigger machine in which we can treat some biological wastes and we can produce energy, green energy. It is reasonably in case if we have a lot of wastes and continuous supply of such a wastes. We can generate some megawatts also, it depends on scale, megawatts of electric energy. First we generate the steam and after using conventional generator we can produce electrical energy, for example. Here is a picture of such an installation which are under construction and under test in our production plant close to Wrocław. I invite everybody, if somebody is interested to see it, please visit Wrocław, we'll show it. Here is another application. It's a lot of possible application. I'm not able to describe everything. I want to only say that it is a new tool which can be effectively used for treatment of hazardous wastes. What kind of wastes is open now question. I want to say one very important maybe sentence. We start to cooperate with our American partners. 2 days ago and yesterday we met some partners in Michigan and probably, I can say not probably, for sure, we'll establish Aton US, Aton USA in the next few weeks, months. I don't know how fast it will go. And it seems to be a very good way to develop also on American market. And I want to say thank you very much to our partners who help us in excellent way to have a contact here, to organize the talks, and it is really very effective. They organize a meeting in EPA agency, in Environment Protection Agency. We got very, very important information how to introduce this technology in American market. So here is Mr. Gregory Filipowicz, Mr. Ark Ross. They will help you if you will have any question according to our activity. Also me, I can give any additional information. So thank you very much for attention and sorry that I am so late. Thank you.
All right, I think we have time for one or two questions for our panelists here. If you could just step up to the microphones if you'd have any questions. I'd just like to say that I was listening to this morning's presentations. I was particularly struck by the many opportunities for collaboration between the U.S. and Poland, and it's clear that such a collaboration would be a very large gain for the U.S. So here we have one question.
I wanted to. Works. I wanted to pay your attention on one of the problems because we in Poland and also in US produce a lot of energy from coal, and as you know, coal is emitting a lot of mercury during the burning, and it's a big problem now, of big emission of the mercury, and we have to
produce the system of catching and eliminating the mercury. And make a lot of mercury is already accumulated in the Baltic Sea, the region, one of the region in which we are interested and focused. So we should put the attention for the collaboration of the environmental contamination by mercury. Thank
yes.
you.
Just make sure this thing is on. Tomasz Wieczorek with Ultra Electronics. I had one specific question. Is there any initial discovery or dialogue for formulating the Aton company for chem-bio cleanup, chemical, biological, nuclear, et cetera, dirty bomb kind of a situation?
Up to now, we did many tests with biological wastes. In Europe, it is many programs supplied by European Union. We got such a supply from Brussels, and they're underway. In some cases, we can produce from the wastes some hundred of thousand or some megawatts, I can say, of energy. In case of cleaning of soil, it's also possible to produce energy. In case just in Riga, our first problem was that we got too much energy. It was a problem because this soil was so much polluted that as a result of oxidation, we got a lot of energy, so we use water from the river to cool our system. In case of biological material, in each case is necessary to make a laboratory scale checkup because each material contains different amount of energy. So it's not so simple that I can use any kind of biological material to treat and I will have a stable level of power. No, it is we should control this process. But using microwaves, we can control it better. Because if we have material which contains more water, so we cannot produce so much energy, we must introduce more microwaves to stabilize the process. I don't know any other technology which can keep this process on so stable level. It is because we heat all material inside of reactor, and we can control temperature, and we can change the power very easily by electronic simple system.
I have a question for the minister, if I may. Two related questions. One is I'd welcome knowing how widely accepted the nuclear power option is in Poland. Do you face any significant opposition? And secondly, Professor Monkertz was kind enough to outline some very interesting approaches to coal. Is there any indication of the costs of these types of technologies? And my basic question to the minister is, do you have the acceptance and do you have the funding?
Thank you very much for this question. I have to say that I'm not so enthusiastic about these results. I'm sure that to have the real acceptance for such, let's say, the controversial technology, I mean, to be implemented in Poland, we need, of course, the quite wide debate, public debate on this very issue. But we decided, I mean, to first of all, to prepare the program, to prepare some solution for the future. As you probably know, for example, the U.S., I mean, exploiting the nuclear power plants for many, many years. You can just offer to the public, to the society, the new solution after a couple of years of operation of the nuclear power plants. I mean, the spent fuel or radioactive waste management and so on. We have to have the answer at the very beginning and to start the whole discussion with answering all possible questions. And this is quite challenging situation because now public is, let's say, prepared for the discussion. So I have to say this 60% let's say share of proponents for the nuclear power is of course a good start, but of course I do believe that we have to do a lot of work should be done, I mean, to have the stable acceptance, and we have to be very careful about these results.
Thank you very much for the question about the cost probably the toughest question you could ask. We touch here on the issue of nuclear power plants, and I know everybody appreciates it, but I will reiterate that the United States is the largest producer of electrical energy in the world from nuclear power plants. Not other countries that might have higher percentage, but United States. And yet, with this experience, that is also the oldest in the world, we are now bidding on new power plants, and we are getting prices that vary as much as 40% one from the other. So now back to disruptive technology. Nuclear is an old hat, and we are getting 40% price difference in bidding. Disruptive technologies cannot be executed without participation of the public sector. Let's call it the government. Absolutely impossible. Because of the risk associated, because of the unknown. If everything was known, it wouldn't be disruptive technology. We have run calculations on the underground coal processing, and you have to look at different aspects of those calculations, but when you take everything together and you roll it into, let's call it, equivalent megawatt price, then you are somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000 per megawatt. I think it's underestimated. By how much, I don't know. I know it's not seven, but it's probably three plus. That's the order of magnitude. The geothermic energy that I have shown here, the enhanced geothermic deep drilling involved with some risk, we are talking about something of the order of 2,200 per kilowatt. So that's the order of magnitude.
Thank you. If we could give our speakers a warm thank you for being here today and for their excellent presentations.